is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco Across the Pond Edition. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman and Chef Ellie Lawton, the official chef of Raised in Wisco. Today's show, this show is going to go so fast. Show is about our trip. Everybody, we've got six people in this room, in the studio, in the fishbowl.
It's a party over here. Just off the boat.
Just off the boat. Thankfully, our airplanes were not boats. They did not end up in the pond. We just returned from Scotland and Ireland, and we are going to have our weekly Wiscos be of our trip, and we're going to do the whole trip. We're going to talk about our hunts. We're going to talk about
our food. I'm so excited for this one.
Food. And, I don't know how this has happened. I think we have to thank Chef Lawton for kind of starting it out.
Whoa, he's starting off by saying something nice to me? Oh, my goodness.
Write it in your calendar.
I got to write this down, guys. Danielle, get the book out. The book is very empty, so this is exciting.
It has a little dust on it. Hold on.
I appreciate this part, but in the same sense, I have gained about 10 pounds in the last 3 months because now we eat before each show just about.
You're only 10 pounds?
Listen, I'm maxing out non-structural jeans right now.
Hey, listen.
I'm no longer made for 100% cotton.
Oh my gosh. We had a Scottish and Irish dinner before the show today that was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre for me.
Danielle had some thirst tonight.
Your guys' palate is not my palate.
Well, thank God.
Well,
we have everybody. Variety is the spice of life.
Your palate's getting there, though.
It is. I tried everything,
which is awesome.
That liver sausage was fantastic.
I tried that.
And I have to say right off the bat, I think the Scottish people Irish people.
We know this.
We know, Danielle. You like Scotch. We'll whisk you back to that later.
Mark that down.
So I think the Scottish and the Irish get a bad rap for their food because I cannot believe how delicious the food was.
It was fantastic.
What was the favorite?
Well, we're going to get to that. I want to introduce our guests. We have a massive panel of guests today. Megan Salazar is here, and she went along on the trip. Mary Jane Bame, Jessica Thielen, and Steve Strait. And we had such an incredible time. And they're all here in the fishbowl, as you can see, if you're watching on Facebook Live. And we just literally within the last 24 hours got back from Scotland, Ireland.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that show. We may even drag it into another week. We'll see. Or do a show in the future about it because I want to talk first about the culture shock. You've got folks who went, and some of us have been to Europe a few times. Some of us have never been to Europe. And Chef Lawton, as somebody who is a student of culinary and a student of food here in the United States, this was your first time leaving the United States and actually going to Europe.
Yeah, it certainly was. That's my weekly Wisco, if that's what we're getting into.
Well, sure. Let's hear it. Bring it on.
Well, actually, my weekly Wisco is riding horses in Ireland.
That's the number one that comes out.
I don't know how you top.
Wasn't it raining when you guys were horseback riding?
It certainly was, and it was so beautiful.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, and honestly, it's so hard to pick one thing. We had a fantastic trip every single day. It was a new adventure. Hike several miles. We'll get into all of it. But that was my weekly Wisco.
We'll try to get into it. Megan Salazar, you had a great time, obviously, when you were riding the horses out there. What was a culture shock to you? Now, you had actually been to Scotland before. Had you been to Ireland?
Yeah, I've been to Scotland and Ireland. I did that same trip 5 years ago.
What did you see as the biggest difference from the United States in Scotland and Ireland?
Oh, boy. Everything's laid back, not necessarily Scotland, but Ireland is. I feel like the people are much more relaxed. Like there's not a lot of waste in the country. I see when we come back to the United States, like how much we waste food, how much we waste portions using grocery bags, just those tiny little
general
things.
General products.
Yeah, I think. And now Mary Jane, who I know because she works at the Capitol in Madison. She works for a state representative, Clint Moses. And I used to be a state representative. So that's kind of how we met. And you're kind of an adventurer. You went and hunted a place in France that I had hunted earlier, and you were game to go along on this trip as well, but you had never been to Scotland or Ireland.
I've been to Ireland, but not Scotland.
Okay, but you hadn't been to Scotland. What was your take on kind of the culture and the people who were there comparative to the United States?
The first thing was the driving.
Why?
I just said, we're going to need some time to talk about that.
PTSD.
We're gonna need to talk about that.
I was the MVP for like organizing the trip, but also the MVP for driving us to the castle the first day. I was scared for myself. But like,
what? Let me say.
Wrong side of the road.
Wrong side of the car.
Wrong side of the car.
Steve.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Steve. I don't know why, but I found Steve to be a very calming soul for me when I was driving. Let me paint this picture for you folks who've never envisioned it. We land in Scotland and go to the rental car counter, and I rent essentially a giant minivan.
It's like a passenger van. Oh, nice. You go big.
That fit all six of us and all 17,000 pieces of luggage in the back. And we leave. And now picture this. You're driving on the opposite side of the car. In the United States, we sit on the left side of the car. In Scotland, they sit on the right side of the car, and then you drive on the left side of the road. And within 30 seconds of leaving the parking lot, first of all, the van, the air conditioning doesn't work. There's bangs and gashes all around it. And
clearly Americans had driven this van several times.
I am 100% convinced they're like,
this one.
Get out the van for the Americans. We're going to ruin it all. It's going to be ruined.
That's exactly it.
So I start driving down the road, and the first thing I encounter is a roundabout. Roundabouts.
Oh, no. They were all over the place.
Roundabouts are hard enough in the United States. And you go the opposite direction on a roundabout. So I'm roundabout on the other side trying to merge.
What time of day is this?
It was daylight.
Yeah, it was afternoon.
Middle of the day, afternoon. And then you get onto what we would call a highway.
Oh, no.
Like a county highway.
It is about, the lanes are about two-thirds the size of a United States highway lane. And I have no sense as to where the left side of the truck is.
There's a spotter. You had a spotter.
I had a spotter.
You had a spotter.
It was me.
Ellie, Chef Lawton.
Uh-oh.
Her job was to shout out,
curb,
curb.
And guess how many times I shouted out, Danielle?
Zero.
About every 6 seconds. I was like, oh, my God, Joel, curb, curb. And everyone else is just laughing. And Joel's like, oh, my God, stop yelling. Oh, my God, but keep yelling. I don't know.
No offense. No offense. She probably wasn't the best person in the car for the job because
I should have been behind the wheel because I'm a terrible passenger.
Because she kept getting, curb, oh, curb. Now, there were about 24 times I actually hit the curb going about 50 miles.
To be fair, the car had a fume curb. Scratches.
Steve, how were you so calm during through this? Because my knuckles were so white. They were whiter.
I could see there's an imprint on the steering wheel.
And Steve's calmly in the back. I think you're doing great, Joel.
Oh, meanwhile, Ellie, positive reinforcement.
Meanwhile, Ellie is yelling,
Now, why does nobody record this?
Okay, but to be fair, the first time you connected with the curb.
First time
I grazed the curb.
No, definitely did not.
I grazed the curb.
Let's not fool anybody here. The folks from the rental place are not listening, okay?
Okay, listen, just a second.
So he hits, Danielle, you're listening. He hits the curb for the first time. It basically shoots us into the other lane. So after that, I'm like, every time he touches the curb, we're going to go head on into the other lane. These lanes are 3 feet wide.
These lanes, I'm not joking, had what, Steve, 6 inches on each side of the car?
There was a thimble of room on each side.
The mirror was riding the line.
The mirror was riding the line, and I had no sense of the left side. So I was favoring the left side and kept hitting the curb on the left side.
Even when I'd yell out curb, he'd still hit the curb. 50 miles an hour.
Then,
oh yeah,
semis are coming toward you around corners.
Not decelerating.
And because you're used to driving on the right side of the road, you feel like when you see them that they are in your lane.
Yeah.
That was by far.
I'm sweating just thinking about it.
I'm sweating right now. That was the most stressful thing. Mary Jane.
How long was this ride?
I mean,
too long.
It was like two and a half minutes.
Jessica, you and Steve were both kind of like the voice of reason in the car during that time. What did you think while we were going through that? Did you guys have the same feeling as I had that when the car was coming in the other lane, that it was in our lane? That was like the instinctive reaction.
I mean, I guess I'd rather hit the curb than the other car.
That is a fact.
Here's what I think Jess and Steve were thinking. Boy, we should have been the drivers. Those two idiots in the front are not doing well.
I did get really good video.
Yes,
I need to watch this.
Oh, I haven't seen that video yet. We have a ton of pictures. I cannot wait to see that video. The show's going to go so fast. Megan, what was your weekly Wisco in Scotland and Ireland?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I can pick one. I mean, like riding, yes.
Oh, Megan, come on.
We're equestrians. So horseback riding's my thing, and that was amazing. I mean, I even got offered a job, so that was cool.
Yeah, you could have stayed.
Mary Jane, what was your weekly Wisco? What was your favorite quick hit of it?
Hunting the goats on the island.
Hunting the goats on the island was fantastic. Jess?
Honestly, even though it was a hunting trip, I'd have to say it, learning about all the different culture and history of the... I'm going to say McMullen.
Duntroon Castle. Malcolm family. And Duntroon Castle and Lochoped.
Yes.
Steve, real quick.
Yeah, kind of along those lines, I'd say the fact that everyone that we interacted with, the history that they knew about their lineage and were able to explain everywhere we were at, it was nice to, we asked a million questions like you're a three.
Yeah.
And being able to explain it right away and tell the history behind it was very impressive.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say my weekly Wisco, as it almost always is in foreign countries.
Food.
You'd think I'd say food.
Yes, I would.
The people.
Oh.
I had such a wonderful time.
Our guides
in Ireland, James and David and Andy in Scotland. I mean, the time I had, we were hunting an island off the Emerald Island.
Oh.
And had just come out of the Scottish Highlands 3 days before. To be able to experience that and to soak in the culture and to have them get a kick out of us and us to get a kick out of them. I cannot wait. You're not going to believe the things we ate. I'm going to talk about how people talk differently and the different words that they use, which is really fun to me also. We had such a fantastic time, this crew, in Scotland and Ireland, and we're bringing it to you on Raised in Wisco. That's right. Raised in Wisco! Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And this week, we're going outside of Wisconsin, taking it completely outside of the box. We got a crew in the fishbowl, including Chef Ellie Lawton.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Mary Jane Baim. There's so many people. Megan Salazar.
We need name tags.
Jessica Thiel and Steve Strait. And, of course, the forever friend of mine, Danielle Fairman, who runs this ship as the co-captain. We went to Scotland and Ireland last week, and we just got off the plane. I think we're all a little punchy and jet-lagged at this stage of the game,
which is
just fine.
Just punchy.
But first off, Danielle, tell everybody where they can listen to the show.
You can listen to the show, see us live on Facebook in our bright and shiny faces. You can listen to us on Apple and Spotify, but best yet, you can listen to us anywhere in the car that you go because we travel with you, which is very exciting. So you can go to Scotland too.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And you can hear us Saturdays at 11 o'clock on every Civic Media station. We were talking about driving in Scotland when I rented the van and just about, I hope I didn't just about kill us, but God, it felt like I could.
We had
every
major
few
curb appeal.
Moments.
Oh, geez. Really?
That is a great
slam
way to say
dunk.
It. I never asked because I was so glad that we just got, we had to drive about 2 hours, and I was so glad when we finally got there. And I want to know, guys, what was going through your mind as we were driving and we were hitting the curb at 60 miles an hour and trucks were coming the other direction? Let me know what you were thinking during that moment, because I never asked at the time because I was afraid to
probably
know the
a good
answer.
Thing you did not ask.
I hope we don't get a flat tire. That would have been brutal on those one lane roads.
Oh gosh, yeah,
the one lane roads. Oh my gosh, it was fantastic. Just crazy. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the fact that we, when we got there, right off the bat, there was bagpipe playing.
Mm-hmm. Was there?
We went to Duntroon Castle, which was built in the 1100s, and we stayed in the servants' quarters of Duntroon Castle, built in the 1100s, and ate real Scottish food while we were there. We're going to talk quite a bit about the food. But first off, Danielle.
Joel.
What was your weekly Wisco?
My weekly Wisco, it was wrapping up the turkey season for me.
Ooh, Danielle.
Did you get one?
I did not. Unfortunately, but I did deliver pies to the farmers saying thank you. So
oh, wonderful.
Now,
oh,
sealed the deal for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Isn't that fantastic? That was one of the things that I noticed in Scotland and Ireland, was that it's very farmer oriented. It felt very much like Wisconsin with as far as having, you know, the fields, except instead of cows, and I did see cows there, you saw a lot more sheep.
Yeah, a lot of sheep.
Which is kind of what you think of probably when you think of Scotland and Ireland. Megan, what was something that really stuck out to you as something that was different, or when we got to the place we were going to stay and Andy was hosting us?
Oh, I think just the food that we had, like I was surprised that we were actually having home cooked meals every single day. Like I was fully Ooh. Prepared to be going out to restaurants every single day on the trip. So
well, that's a pleasant surprise then.
It was wonderful. And we were actually pretty far off the beaten path, so we didn't really have any restaurant options. So we were very blessed that our host cooked beautiful meals for us.
Yeah. And we were only about 10 minutes or so from the town of Logalpeed, and mm-hmm. and there were one or two places.
And
to
we found the best one.
As long as you ate before 4 p.m., there were places.
Before 4 p.m.?
Every 10 a.m. and before 4
yeah,
p.m.
So
but
really,
not from 12 to 2.
Right.
But right.
What?
Right. No, they open at 10. They
yes.
close at noon. They open back maybe at 2 or 3, and then they're open till 4.
Danielle, even the coffee shops, they don't open
what?
Until about 10 a.m.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no!
I thought that was very interesting to
feel...
me, the time, and I think that goes back to what Megan was talking about when she said that there's a very laid back attitude in Europe. I think there's a difference. Often in America, we live to work, and over there, it's very clear that they work to live, and they have much more emphasis on mealtime. Mealtimes are very much longer. Mary Jane, did you feel that you noticed that there was a much more laid-back attitude there compared to here?
Yeah, 100%. Dinner time was like a two-hour event. They were never pushing us out of the restaurant. A couple of times we went out to eat. We were asking for the bill.
You have to ask for
you
the
have
bill.
To. And you have to like look for the waitress or waiter. Be like, where are they? Where are you? Because they let you just hang out, and there's no push to push you out. After your meal, they just want you to hang out, have community, talk to other people, talk to people on your table. There's no push for the next people to take your table and serve more people.
Your That's favorite nice. Thing you ate in Scotland?
The sausage. Oh, Scotland?
Yes.
The smoked trout.
The smoked trout?
Was
that was impressive.
Oh. Jessica, what was your favorite thing from Scotland that you ate?
Absolutely, the smoked trout.
Hmm. Yeah,
it was
okay.
phenomenal.
Steve, did you have a favorite from Scotland?
That was great, but the lamb shank was at the first place we stopped at.
That was wonderful.
I'm gonna go with lamb shank. I'm gonna finish with the classically trained French chef. What was your favorite thing in Scotland?
I really liked the venison that we had with the cabbage, the steamed cabbage.
I did love that too.
That was very delicious.
And I'm not going to lie, even their snacks and their cookies and their prepackaged things taste very different. They have very few allowed preservatives in their food. And I was really particular to the Jammy Dodgers.
I ate four cans
of
Pringles.
Jammy Dodgers?
They have Pringles there. They tasted different. They had these little shortbread cookies called Jammy Dodgers.
They were wonderful. Ooh.
We're going to get into Ireland, the hunt there, and the food there as well. Plus, we're going to have our cooking segment, which we always do. And it was awesome. I had such a great time with all you folks, and you're having a great time with us, and we love having you along on Raised in Wisco. Raised in Wisco, Scotland and Ireland edition. I am your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside with Danielle Fairman.
Hello,
my
Joel
longtime
Clayfish.
Hunting buddy, co-host of television, Oop. Radio, newspaper, magazine, internet,
all
Instagram, Facebook, MySpace,
Breathe.
Your space, Breathe. Our space, their
we
space.
All space.
Space.
Space. Space. Space. So, Danielle, can you reel him in?
I apologize.
And I'm there too, man.
You don't know yet. I get carried away. I get a little carried away. You know, I am having such a great time. We've got the entire crew here who went to Scotland and Ireland. Steve Strait, Jessica Thielen, Mary Jane Baim, Megan Salazar, and Chef Ellie Lawton was along with us. And I think, and we've been talking about our experiences in Scotland so far. We're going to talk more about Ireland now. But what I noticed is this show so far has been taken up with talking about the culture mm-hmm. and the food. And it was a hunting trip. I would be very remiss if we did not talk about the hunting, because we hunted our A's off. We hunted hard.
And our B's.
And our butts. Yes. We hunted hard. And for those of you who think you're going to escape dealing with ticks if you leave Wisconsin, you are wrong.
Oh, no.
Scotland was ticky.
Did you bring the Scottish ticks?
I collected all of them on my pants several times. I had a tick farm.
Tick farm.
I want to talk about, I mean, we had six hunters and we hunted hard. We all hunted and hiked at least 5 miles a day, probably.
A day. Oh, minimum.
Minimum, 5 miles a day in the Scottish.
How was the terrain? Oh, there we go. Sorry.
Highlands.
Blew the gun.
The terrain was tough.
Mm. Yeah.
Steve, what did you think? I mean, Steve, you're a pretty fit dude. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I could still take you, I'm sure, but.
Undoubtedly.
Arm wrestle.
What did you think of the hunting and the conditions and the difficulty of the hunts there?
Yeah, I enjoyed the topography. I mean, like some high elevation changes. There's bogs. The type of hunting, scouting with the different guides was unique, using scopes, looking on highlands, walking through fields. It was, you know, all over the place. Usually in Wisconsin, you're sitting in a stand, maybe do a drive. So the way that we were going about it, shooting off of sticks, definitely unique experience.
And if you think that when you go and you hire a guide, and we were hunting roe deer in Scotland, and you think it's just going to be easy peasy, let me tell you, only two of our six got roe deer while we were
can
there.
You describe roe deer?
A roe deer is a miniature deer about the size of a large dog. Hmm. Actually, size of a medium-sized dog, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even a large dog is bigger. And a real giant trophy's got six horns on their antlers, so 6 points on their antlers, and they're little teeny miniature little basket racks.
Are they?
And they go straight up. I mean, they're the cutest little things.
Yeah, they're cute.
They are a really cute little thing. And I have to say, I hunted and hunted and hunted and only ever saw one roebuck, a buck. And the one I saw, oh, Mary Jane, I got to talk about our hunt.
Oh, yes, Mary please Jane, do talk. Why are you saying, oh, no, Mary Jane? Where do you think he's going to take this?
Because Joel did not wreck the hunt.
Oh, we did call Andy to verify.
Andy was mad because
Andy was the guide. So, yeah, so let guide. Me set this up. Andy yeah. took us out, and we were on a basically on the edge of one of the highlands, looking down over kind of a valley, and there were some does and some red stag, which were out of season. We were
30 plus red stag jumping over be a fence. Couple hundred meters away.
Yeah, oh. At least 500. Yeah, 500 yards
two,
away.
Two doe row, and then there was the buck.
And there was and I had seen the roe doe, and I wanted and Andy, the guide, was in the middle of his sentence, and I said, because I wanted him to know I saw a doe, because very often you see a doe, there's a buck that's going to follow, mm-hmm. and that's your target species, right?
And he was talking to me like pointing out where they. Know all where all these animals are and everything, and Joel makes that sound, and then he turns to you, Joel, and it was like, "You just scared the buck away," and he did not.
I thought he said the buck about 3 minutes after I was trying to get his attention for the doe, the buck came out of the woods and just trotted out and kept trotting and left. And he, what did he say, Mary Jane?
Oh, no, she's laughing.
She's laughing.
I was not happy with you.
No. I want to say I did not scare that buck.
No, you
away.
Did not, but he did. He thought you, like, he was like, you just scared him. And I,
oh, just my point that
then, Mary Jane. Say what he continued to say throughout the evening and for the remainder of the trip.
Of the, like, last 2 hours. He's always like, Joel, you wrecked that hunt.
He did? He kept bringing it up?
So horrible. I said, first of all, I did not. 3 minutes later, this buck trotted out and kept trying. What I'm trying to explain here, when you have six people and two of them have had a shot, and at this point, no one had killed a deer yet, and he was getting very frustrated.
Oh, no.
And he turned and he said, you just scared it off. Like 3 minutes later. I said, I you were in the middle of a sentence when I tried to point it out to you.
Yeah.
And then Andy went on to tell every other group he took out in the
and
field.
The other guides.
Oh, and
no.
the other guides that I ruined Mary Jane's chance to get a buck.
And the buck was so far away, wasn't even close to even shoot at. And then he went to the other side of the field to, like, go find the buck again, and we couldn't find the buck.
And the rest of the hunt, the rest of the 3 days we were there, he said every time he saw a buck, he'd say, Mary Jane, that's your buck that Joel
yeah,
scared away.
Yeah, he did. He saw, I think, two more that night, miles away.
Two different deer. He's like, that's your buck that Joel
and I just
away.
Smiled because I'm like, I'm not going to say anything mean to him, but I go, well, I also know it was not Joel's fault at all. Like, that buck was so far away.
And this was the first day?
First night, yeah.
Yeah, first night.
And I have to say, I live by a theory in life that every once in a while you apologize, even when you know you're not wrong. Just apologize.
Isn't that
get through
the husband thing?
And
to
I
do?
Think... that's good. I guess that's probably
doesn't that
good
happen
advice.
All the time?
So I said, well, I'm really sorry. But I don't... I mean, I'm really sorry. Well, he accepted my apology and then continued to tell everyone I ruined the hunt. So that didn't work.
It didn't
well.
Matter either way.
But that there, the and then I had a little different episode where I twisted my knee to the side trying to scale a sheer mountain.
Oh no!
Yeah. Oh my gosh! We were.
How'd that happen?
I was kneeling on a rock to get up. One of our guides, Hannah, I think she was she was able to scale these highland cliffs.
Yeah.
I mean, quick as a fiddle.
It was clear she did it daily.
Oh, yes.
I mean, she did it very well.
And I was trying to keep up. I put my knee down on a rock and lost my balance on the moss of the rock, and my knee slipped and twisted.
Ouch.
Fortunately,
no, thank you.
The chemist there had a knee brace, and that did help out quite a bit. But that hunting in Scotland was hard, and it was tough. And so Steve and Megan... were able to harvest a roebuck.
Oh, you did?
Yes. So.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, so, like, I've hunted a lot of big game, too. Not as much as Joel, obviously, but I want to say Scotland was definitely one of the hardest hunts I have been on.
No doubt.
And you know, they don't use camo there. So that's completely different. So you're not concealed that way, but you really have to play the wind. And that's how I ended up on a really long hike.
Oh my gosh, wait till you hear this story.
So we get there and everybody else had been driving around. They look for the deer, they see the deer, they get out of the truck. So I thought I was gonna be getting off easy here. And he's like, oh no, we have to go over here. But we have to go this way around the mountain because of the wind. We can't just go in the valley. So I was like, okay.
And that makes sense.
We get up the hill and all of a sudden we're at the top of this cliff. We go down. We are now on the shoreline, which is all rocks covered in seaweed and like shellfish. So every step I take, and by the way, anytime they say something some distance, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 miles, just double it because that's what's happening.
At least everything they said for distance or time, you had to double it, and then it became close to true.
So he says 200 meters on the shoreline, we're fine, and I'm like, okay. 20 minutes later, I'm like, I'm gonna die, but I can't go back because now I'm stuck. We get to the end. Now we had to scale up a cliff, straight up. I'm like, great. Fortunately, we come across some ruins. As soon as we crossed that, we saw a red doe. What are they? Hinds.
Huh?
A hind, yep. and a calf. And we decided not to push them, which luckily we didn't, because when we went around the other way across the valley, then we saw the buck and a roebuck and another deer. So I got that at 170 meters.
Oh, wow.
And the cool thing is they hunt with dogs with their deer, or deer with their dogs.
Danielle, you'd love it.
You would love it. And so that means you probably took a 300-yard shot if we're doubling the time and space.
You're just that good. You're that good.
And these things are not easy, and I want to say congrats to Steve and Megan because you made fantastic shots.
Yeah,
and
good for you guys.
The cool thing about this group is we all celebrated their
That's how
kills,
it should be, though.
You
know?
And it was just, it was fantastic. Steve, you're itching to say something. I know it. No. You felt. You
Tell had, us about
you
your hunt, Steve.
Yeah, I want to know about you your hunt. How was yours?
You had to feel pretty good about the shot that you took.
Yeah, mine wasn't as dramatic. We didn't have to scale quite as much. We did a lot of driving, a lot of scoping. And ironically, as you guys were passing to go to town to get that knee brace, we're waving you by, telling you to keep going because we saw a buck in the morning get out. And before we even got within probably 50 yards of it, we jumped it and it took off. So we came back around and there's probably only about a half an hour left of light. And something else about there is it stays light almost like 20 hours a day. So we're hunting.
Yeah. Crazy. Like 10 o'clock at night, we were out hunting.
Yeah,
what? So, you were?
Yes, 4:15 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
it was nuts. Awesome.
And it's
sounds
light,
like a pretty
light.
Good nap in between.
It's light at 4 a.m.
Yes.
It is light out at 4 a.m. That was fantastic. So basically what you're trying to say, Steve, is I ruined two hunts.
Yes. I didn't want to pile on. I didn't want
to
pile on with the bad knee, but
we pull up to them. We're going to ask them if they want anything from in town. And he just waves us on. And we look at each other like, God, what a bunch of jerks.
Little did we know I ruined another hunt. Oh my gosh. So that was tough. And then we get to Ireland and we fly to Ireland and we land there. And James, who is literally the embodiment of a leprechaun, like he is. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a striking, fit young man. Okay. A very handsome young man. But he looked like he was literally, I was looking for the rainbow in the pot of gold when we met him. He gets,
hilarious.
Nice to meet you. And he had the thickest Irish accent. It was perfect. He was fantastic. James Fallon, if you go to Ireland, you have to hunt with James, not Jimmy Fallon. His name was James Fallon. Come on, I've got your car right over here. And he was perfect because he drove.
Yeah.
How many curbs were hit then?
None.
He didn't hit a single curb. He still scared the crap out of me with his driving, but I would have still rather been a passenger. I mean, gosh, that was a fantastic time. And I cannot wait to talk about how that hunt went. And we're going to do a quick cooking segment too. And that's why this show is flying as fast as it is. We love having you along on Raised in Wisco. And this is the Raised in Wisco Scotland and Ireland edition. Chef Lawton is coming up with a recipe. We're going to finish out those hunts in Ireland, which were incredibly successful. We went 6 for 6, if you can believe it. And massive alligator slayer Jessica Thielen got away with the massive goat as well.
Oh,
the
shocking.
Irish, yeah, right?
Big surprise there.
Yeah, big surprise.
It was really something, I tell ya. She must have been shooting about 300 yards. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. In Wisco, Scotland, Scotland, and Ireland editions.
Wow, God, that was in there.
My name's Joel Clayfish. I get to host this menagerie. Danielle Fairman tries to keep the boat on course.
Do
to
I,
some
though?
Extent.
Do I?
I'm not sure you do,
I feel
actually.
Like I don't.
I feel like we all go.
Like, let's go that
I
way.
I feel like
let's
we go all go to a wide array of places here.
Yes.
Classically trained French chef, official
she's just
chef
in the kitchen.
Of Raised
the
in Wisco.
I'm just hanging out by the
chef
food.
Chef Ellie Lawton, Megan Salazar, Mary Jane Baim, Jessica Thielen, Steve Strait. We are in the fishbowl, and we got back within the last 24 hours from Scotland and Ireland, and we've been sharing some of the stories, and we're going to talk about Ireland. We land in Ireland. James picks us up. What a fantastic guy he was. Fantastic guy, fantastic guide. First thing we do, literally go to a hunting clothing store. We all buy matchy, matchy clothes.
Please tell me it is matchy, matchy, though.
It's
if everybody matchy, listening, matchy. If you go onto Facebook Live, you can see that Joel and Ellie are wearing the same shirt.
Yeah, yes. We're matchers.
Ireland shirts. We all had such an amazing experience. We get to Ireland. The first thing we do is literally get on a boat and go from the island of Ireland, the Emerald Isle, to an island off the coast of Ireland that's got these, what they call Irish ibex, which, to be honest with you, are feral goats that have lived in the highlands of Ireland and in the mountains areas in Ireland, and they were on an island. Now, it was a big island. It wasn't like...
Yeah, it was big.
We hiked more than 6 miles on that hunt, but we all got chances to shoot, and I don't think there were any misses on that. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
There was... Steve missed.
Steve.
Oh.
Steve, the crack shot on the road
here
ended up missing your first shot, but then you pulled off your second one perfectly.
First time shooting on sticks, rocked the wrong way, sent it into the wall.
yeah, but to be fair, I have to say, I think Steve had the furthest shot on his goat
no
out
doubt.
Of everybody.
No doubt.
And the first shot... the goats were really clumped up. So you did shoot right over its
that
back.
That did make it very tricky, though, because we wanted to harvest mature goats. And what that was a fantastic hunt for me because we all got to hunt together. Everybody,
oh, that's really
nice. Yeah, it was literally really nice. A group hunt.
A group hunt of all six
So did
of
everybody
us.
Shoot at the same time?
No,
or was
no,
it just
no,
one
no,
and individual?
No. We individually hunted these things all over the island and ended up getting shots, having fantastic shot placement, very ethical kills.
Everybody was celebrating right then and there together. That's
together.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful goats. And we're all going to do shoulder mounts and get them on the wall. And I couldn't be more excited about that. And the food, we cooked
the
one
food.
Of the goats. While we were
we cooked
there.
Frank.
We cooked
what?
Frankie.
Who's yes, Frank?
I do think it's weird that we named the one we ate. But
yeah. So Frank
wasn't
is
it,
the sheep.
Wasn't it James, our guide, who named it?
I think
or
no,
it was Jessica names
Jessica
all name. Of her harvests. And
aww.
Yeah.
And you know what? Frank. You know why there's nothing wrong with that? It really gives you an appreciation for the fact that you are taking a life for your own sustenance.
Yeah.
And we had a very reverent
attitude
about
that. And we give thanks for that animal.
That. And we were excited, and we made a fantastic recipe.
So
I'm going to turn this over to Chef Lawton.
Whoa, we're going to do the recipe?
Yes.
Why not?
Oh, good. I'm so glad. So we get off the plane, we get on the boat, we get on the island, we harvest the goats. Yeah. Joel actually shot Frank, the goat that we prepared for dinner. So within 24 hours, we had gotten off the plane, did the boat, did the island, got the goat into a cooler overnight. The next day we go to James' house and he goes outside, grabs this goat, brings it in and plops it on his kitchen table. Like, this is totally normal. And we're all like, do you want to lay down some butcher paper? Like, oh, how no. is this going to work here? Nope, him and Joel broke down the goat. We did a fantastic, super easy recipe. After James and Joel broke down the goat, we put it in the crock pot, filled it with water, a little olive oil, lemon juice, lime juice, some provider spices that we had with us, some salt and pepper, garlic cloves, carrots, potatoes, parsnips.
Oh, boy.
That was everything. And that we did. It. We so measured good. With our hearts every step of the way. And that crock pot, Joel ended up having to take some liquid out of it because by the time we put the lid on it, it was overflowing. And we turned that puppy on low. We left and explored Ireland for about 5 hours, yep. 6 hours.
That sounds perfect.
We went back for dinner and we, this recipe and food, this goat was so good. We just literally pulled it out of the crock pot, set it on two plates, and we all just dove in. It was aww. So wonderful. Frank was delicious. We were grateful for him. The vegetables were so fresh and wonderful. Everything in Ireland was very fresh and it was very surprising. Yeah.
That's very, that's
so
nice.
We had, I mean, talk about island to the table, right?
Oh my gosh.
It was, it does not get fresher so and fresh. And healthier than that. That's for sure. We all loved it.
What was the additional meat that we had that James shared with us?
Oh, we ate some muntjac. That was harvested in England, which was also it's my favorite wild game. It's the most tender wild game as a steak. You can cut it with a fork. But this goat, I think so often we hear a word here in the United States and we're put off by it right off the bat. Like, I mean, we've talked about eating raccoons and how delicious they can be. If you are averse to goat or you think it's goat, the word goat sounds goofy, right? I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the most delicious, tender meats I have ever eaten out of the crock pot. And there was not a gamey thing about it. Mm. Not a skunky livery taste whatsoever. It melt in your mouth. Delicious. It was a fantastic trip. I had it was a joy going there with you, Steve, Jessica, Mary Jane, Megan, Ellie. I had a fantastic time with you there. Thank you so much for going across the pond. Thanks for making this edition of Raised in Wisco so great. Danielle Fairman, thanks for hosting this. You're going to have to go with us next year.
Thanks for holding it down in Wisco while we're gone.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much. And we appreciate you joining us on Raised in Wisco on all your civic media stations. Saturdays at 11. If you miss us, listen to the podcast. I promise you'll laugh and you might even learn something. I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week.